You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Look ahead to the action coming up on Wednesday, which you can hear on William Hill's Racing Radio with Gordon Brown, Gary Catewell and Kevin O'Malley from 1:40pm. Lingfield and Southall and Chepstow being the domestic action coming up on Wednesday. But for now, my name's John Gibby. And to look ahead to the action, I'm joined by Andy Holding. Andy, how's it going?
Hello, John. Yeah, all well.
Fantastic. From your famous Irish racing podcast, you make the cross to the Daily Racing Podcast now. You're a dual podcast man, and I'm sure everyone will be happy with that. Or your little fan base.
I don't want to pigeonhole me too much, you see. I like to still have a bit of flexibility
exactly in
my makeup.
You don't want to be typecast.
I don't want to be typecast now, because it's very difficult to snap out of that.
Yeah.
Once you're Joey from Friends, you're always Joey from Friends.
And with that in mind, not typecasting you as an Irish podcast man, let's talk about some Irish racing.
Yes, why not?
Irish Champions Weekend this weekend, of course, including a whole host of Group 1s. We'll look ahead to two of those now, Andy. First off, the Irish Champion Stakes coming up this Saturday. And interesting looking heat, this one. For a long time, we haven't really known what's going to go for it. At the moment, or time of recording, our prices here at William Hill, Churchill's the odds-on favourite at 4-5. Eminent is 5-1. Just announced today the likely target for Martin Mead's charge. Winter, 6-1. Poets Word, 8-1. Cliffs of Moher is 10-1. 16-1 for Decorated Knight, and 20-1 and bigger for the rest. Andy, what do you make of this race at this stage? We're getting closer to it now.
Well, it's a race dominated by Aidan O'Brien. It's a race close to his heart. He likes to win it with his best horses. You know, Australia was a big winner for him many moons ago, and Churchill's that similar type, isn't he? A winner of the 2000 guineas, eclipsed in a few runs subsequently, but he was back on track last time out. Let's not make too fine a point about it, but I think that was probably, for me, his best run of the year, even though he got beat in that Jumon International. It was a very, very strong race. Brought about the clash of the generations between the three-year-olds and the older horses. And although Ulysses came on top, Churchill certainly came out of the race, in my view, with great credit. And it proved now that he's very much a horse that can live with the very best, and over a mile and a quarter as well, which previously he was untried and trusted on. The track should be absolutely ideal for him. A lot depends on the ground, of course. There are one or two showers forecast for the Dublin area, which has to be factored in, because he wouldn't want the ground soft. He's run slightly below par with a little bit of ease in the ground before. So a lot depends, like I say, on what Aidan O'Brien ends up running in the end, other than Churchill. For instance, Winter, Cliffs of Moher, Lancaster Bomber, Hydrangea. He's got multiple entries in it. Will this horse be the only representative from the Ballydore camp? Or if it does become soft, is there a viable alternative? And in the shape now of Eminent, we might just have the ideal opponent at 5-1, which does deserve plenty of respect, and a lot of each-way respect as well at that, because we weren't sure whether he was going to run, having won last time out in pretty decisive fashion. But connections of Martin Mead's charge are now deciding to roll the dice.
Not able to show his best in his two runs in the classics earlier on, the 2000 guineas and the Derby Eminent. But do you think he's best at this trip at a mile and a quarter, sort of the intermediate between those two?
I think so, and I think they've now found the way to ride him. Obviously, he's been held up before to get the trips he's been running, but he's been running quite keenly. He was too keen in the Eclipse, but they thought, right, there's one way of combating a horse that's very keen, and that's to let him just stride along. And that worked out a treat last time, as we saw in that Group 2 contest at Deauville. When he beat, not a top-class field, but he did it in the manner of a horse who could clearly have a very bright autumn. There is still talk about him running perhaps in the Arc de Triomphe later on in the season, providing he comes through this test. But as for now, a mile and a quarter with an attacking ride is very much the way to go with this horse. So if, let's say, there isn't any pacemakers involved in this race from Ballydore, because that could easily upset the Eminent tactics himself, I think he's the most likely horse to give Churchill the... plenty to think about.
In terms of winter's likely participation, lots of people thought she'd end up in the Matron Stakes this weekend. Aidan O'Brien came out this morning, as we record this on Tuesday, and said that it's still very much a possibility she could go for the Irish Champion Stakes. And sometimes with O'Brien, you know, when he says something like that, he sort of means that it's the general plan, or sometimes he's just thinking out loud. It's difficult to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to read between the lines with Aidan. He's very much a guardian and keeps his cards close to his chest, man. Only he would know what he's going to do. He's probably he does know what he's going to do, but he's not prepared to tell everyone at this moment in time, just in case there are changes, like I say, in weather conditions, and he doesn't want to be seen with egg on his face. But if winter does go there, her form, as we saw last time out, just on that Nassau run at Goodwood, stands out as equally as good as what some of these horses have already achieved so far this season. She was a good winner of her classic over her generation in the 1,000 guineas, which makes her kind of a similar kind of horse to Churchill in many respects. So, and she's handled soft ground. So she does have quite a bit in her favour if Connections were deciding to go down here, not run against her own sex in the Matron. But they've then got Roly Poly and Rhododendron in that. So, you know, they've got so many top-class horses at this time of year. Where do you juggle all the balls? It's very, very difficult to sometimes try and keep them all apart.
She seems to be a very versatile filly, and certainly a top-class filly. And with that in mind, it's kind of strange to have this multiple Group 1 winner and you're just slotting her in where it makes sense at the time, rather than having an aim.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, if you gave me a bet at this time, you'd obviously look at the likes of Eminent Winter from an each-way perspective. If you knew Winter was going to win, 6-1 would be an unbelievable price. Because there's likely, therefore, if that runs, then there's a chance that Cliff Samoa and one or two others down the list won't. So on and so forth. So it could even be that we might even get less than 8 runners. And from an each-way perspective, that's good business if you knew something was running and there was only going to be enough for 2 places from an each-way perspective.
Well, the Irish Champion Stakes are taking place on Saturday. You can hear it live, of course, on William Hill's Racing Radio. And the action on Irish Champions Week and continues on the Sunday at the Curragh. And the feature race being the Irish St. Ledger. Now, of course, in the Irish St. Ledger, unlike all the other Irish Classics and the British Classics, it is open to older horses as well, which makes things interesting here, Andy. Order of St. George is the 8-13 odds-on favourite here. Big Orange is at 5-1. Or how about Dartmouth? So unlucky last time at York, it's 8-1. Tossador is 10-1. Rekindling, 12-1. Wicklow Bray, 14-1. And 16-1 and bigger for the rest. What do you make of this one?
Well, it's all about Order of St. George, really. He's basically running at his own patch, at his own back door. This is a track where he's just dominated the scene for so long. This is his domain. And it's very much a race that Aidan O'Brien has dominated in recent years, the likes of Yates, Septimus, and, of course, Order of St. George himself 2 years ago. Unfortunately, he got beaten this race last year by Wicklow Brave, who was a bit of a shock winner, but I don't think we're going to be getting the same this time around. He just looks in top-class shape, doesn't he, at the moment, Order St. George? That he's actually a kind of horse that could be easily flexible enough to run well in the Arc de Triomphe, as he proved last year. He's a good mile and a half horse, but he stays 2.5. And at the Curragh, he's almost unbeatable. Obviously, Big Orange has beaten him so far this season, so you have to respect that. And you'd probably look at the betting and think, well, how can one be 8-13 and another one 5-1? When you know, Big Orange had his day at Tasker. But that was very much Big Orange's big chance to shine, and he didn't squander his opportunity.
Do you think people are overreacting with Big Orange to losing to Stradivarius last time and receiving whatever it was, £10?
Possibly, yeah. I think it's all about the ground with Big Orange. He's very much a firm ground, daisy cutter. He doesn't want to have autumnal conditions where there's ease in it. If there is, then he's not going to be anywhere near as effective. So I think the market's probably reacting in that favour. They're almost kind of like predicting. At the moment, it's good to yielding in places with rain forecast. It is definitely going to be on the soft side. It usually is at the Curragh at this time of year. It doesn't dry out as it would do in the middle of summer. It's very dewy mornings, and there's always some kind of like mizzle or mist around. So it's very much going to play into Order St. George's strengths. I think he's more of a mile and a half stroke, mile six horse than the Big Orange will be, because he wants 2 miles and above to bring his stamina into play. So it's a bold move by Marco Bell to at least attempt it, to go over to the Curragh and give it a go. But I think Order St. George will have his revenge.
And he is the 8-13 favourite for the Irish St. Ledger at the time of recording, Roberts here at William Hill. Now, if you didn't tune in to the podcast yesterday, regular listeners, there's a slightly new format to the programme today. Instead of going through four of the sort of best races or the most interesting races tomorrow, we're putting things slightly more in the pundits' hands, making things a bit more interesting. And from all of tomorrow's racing, we're asking Andy or whoever's in the pundits' chair each day just for their nap and their next best on tomorrow's cards. Now, Andy, what is your nap selection going to be for Wednesday's racing?
Okay, my nap comes up at Lingfield in the 3:50. I was hugely impressed by a horse that won the other day on the old weather called WG Grace. Plenty of cricket fans will no doubt be using plenty of puns attached to WG Grace. It was the first race, of course, it'd be opening the batting, wouldn't it, for instance? For many punters, but
it's a good effort.
It's indeed, yeah. That's all I've got. That is all I've got, I'm afraid. But this horse was obviously teed up for a nursery campaign based on his first three performances. Very much trying to get him a mark, and he snuck under the radar with a mark of 61 when he won at Kempton. And although he justified favouritism, he did it the hard way because he got taken on for the front running role. He got softened up, and yet he still had enough quality to fend off his rivals on that occasion. Now, because he won by a small margin, the handicapper can only put him up £4, but I thought he was much, much better than what the official assessor had given him, because, like I say, he came through the race through the hard manner. I think he's much better than the 65-rated horse. I think he at the end of the season, be running in all-weather races in the mid-70s, maybe even the 80s. So this provides a good opportunity for him to strike again. And with the Johnson team, and particularly his two-year-olds going well, I think he'll provide him with another winner.
Interesting to see James Doyle booked for the ride as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's another positive. James is riding the crest of wave at the moment. Very confident jockey. He rides Lingville really well. No reason to believe that the association with him can't continue.
WG Grace, the nap selection for Andy Holding in Lingfield's 3:50 from Wednesday's racing. And now, Andy, what about your next best?
Yeah, we'll go to Chepstow. This one's a little bit more difficult to explain, so to speak. But there's a very competitive handicap due to be run at 3:40, in which I'm sure Rigoletto and Entiras are likely to be hugely popular. Rigoletto, trained by Local Command, he's been a steadily progressive three-year-old this season. And Entiras represents a yard in Oran Burrows that he's clearly going to have a good autumn based on their recent exploits. And he ran well on his seasonal reappearance back in July. But the one I quite like is Zumran from the David Simcock Stable. Now, he comes out of a race which I'm very, very keen to highlight to William Hill podcasters. It was the race that was won by Magito at the York Ebor Festival. The winner was William Haggis' train horse, who's very much a progressive three-year-old. I think he's going to be a group horse in time. And all the way down the list, the likes of Battered, City of Joy, Medahim, King's Gift, they'd all run well in previous good handicaps, and they all took their part in what was a very strongly run race. But Zumran, I thought, came out of the race with great credit. He was a long way back at halfway, but he stayed on quite eye-catchingly to finish and never near a six. And given that he was £6 out of the handicap, in theory, he was running way beyond his grade of 85. I think now back in his own company against horses rated in and around him, 83s, 85s, he should be a good deal more competitive than he was at the York, albeit still a good run on the Naismeyer. Prior to that, of course, he was victorious, which suggests to me that he ran equally as well in defeat than he did in victory. The hood seems to have brought about a huge amount of improvement in him. The last two times he's worn that contraption, he's run to a very high standard. So I'm quite keen here on Zumran. With the dead eight runners currently on offer, I think if he can get somewhere over 4-1, he'd be a really good each-way bet.
And at time of recording, no prices yet for the 3:40 Chepstow, but actually in the betting forecast we've got in front of us, Andy, exactly 4-1.
I think he'll be bigger than that, because I do think, as I said, Entiras and Rigoletto, the bookmakers will definitely price the race up around those two. You'll probably see 11-4, 3-1, one of them, 7-2, another. The next one will probably be 9-2, 5-1, and I predict that Zumran or either Whipnay Nay will be the third and fourth in the betting. So you're bound to get an each-way price about Zumran.
Funnily enough, I was asked to put up a horse from a two-clear perspective earlier on at the Chepstow meeting, and I went for Retiras. So it's if I'd known it was going to be your next best was running against him, Andy, never would have done it.
You should never change your views.
And just to remind listeners to that end as well, that Chepstow and Gorham Park on Wednesday will be your two clear meetings whilst here at William Hill. If you can back a horse that wins by two lengths or more in a field of six or more runners, then you'll get a 15% free bet bonus on your bets. But Andy, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Well, you'll get two podcasts for the price of one, because not only will this be available tonight and tomorrow, I'll be doing a Gorham Park podcast tomorrow for you as well.
Fantastic. We were disappointed you didn't do Laytown for today. That would have been really sort of
novelty. Well, it's not my doing. We've had this argument before, but when I'm in the studio, they don't like using me again. That's the way it is.
I thought it was just because it was Laytown and it was beach racing.
No, I would have done one ordinarily, but the powers that be, we can't argue with them. Once it's in your contract and it's in black and white, there's no going back.
All right, who am I to argue with the powers that be? But I will say to all you listening, thanks for listening, and please join us tomorrow on William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.